Welcome to Mike and Steve, a podcast in which Mike Carson and Steve Henry interview everyone who graduated in 1994 from Ohio's Cuyahoga Falls High School, one classmate at a time. Today's guest is Derek Wilkinson. This episode was recorded September 28th, 2022.
All right.
Hello, everybody. All right. Welcome back to a new episode. I am really excited today to have my good friend, Derek Wilkinson, on the show. Welcome to the show, Derek.
Thank you, Mike.
Hey, Derek.
Thank you, Steve.
It's been a while since I've seen you. We were friends. We were like good friends. And then, just time passed. And I guess like the years between when we talked grew longer and longer. And it's been a while.
It has, yeah. I haven't talked to many people at all from our class in a while.
Really?
No, not particularly. Yeah. I was talking with Dan Bowman for a while after high school, but then he got married and moved to Virginia. So,
okay, yeah, we got to have him on the podcast too at some point. But when's the last time we talked, Derek? Man, I don't know. It's been.
Gosh, no, I think we both went to Worcester the same year, and then I transferred to Kent State, and then I haven't seen you since. Maybe I saw you once or twice.
Oh, I forgot you went to Worcester. You were there. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Completely forgot about that. What, first year?
Freshman year. Oh, I was a freshman because I went to Germany for a year.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You were a sophomore, so probably so.
Okay. Wow.
I forgot. And then you called me. Mike, you had Derek prank call me and speak German. You guys remember that?
I think that happened, yeah. Because there was a chess game or something like that. And then we called Steve, and then Steve, like, at the get together, he's like, I never forgot you doing that. I was like, oh, sorry.
That was really traumatizing. Yeah, it's like I just pick up the phone and I hear someone, like, you were kind of like, it sounded like a stern German guy. I had no idea what you're saying.
That was my favorite thing to do. I would get Derek, we would prank. I remember you just called, like, I would be on one phone, you'd be on the other. We just call some poor random person, like, and you would be like, willst du Schach mit mir spielen? Or something like that.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah, I had some issues back then for sure.
That was funny, fun. Yeah, that was hilarious. I loved that.
I don't even know what I said. I probably was just like, I'm sorry, I think you have the wrong number.
Actually, some people one of my jobs didn't believe it spoke German, so I had to like call a McDonald's in Germany to start talking to them.
What? That was like the audition.
Yeah.
Did you order a Big Mac in German?
Yeah, right. No, I can't do that. But...
Oh, wow. Man. Fun. Yeah, there's going to be lots of, I have lots of stories I remember that are really good. But before we do that, Steve, you got the yearbook out?
I got the yearbook.
Okay, let's read about Derek.
All right, so I looked up, there's a picture here, Derek on the cross country team. Where are you in here? Sorry. I can't even recognize people in here. Where are you? Wait a minute now. Well, I guess it doesn't matter. I mean, people can't see what we're looking at anyway, right? But now I'm kind of curious. Wait, is that you? I can't even.
Yes. Yeah.
There you are.
I was here back then.
Okay. That's you. Yes. All right. And I'm right behind you looking off to the side.
Oh, you guys were both on cross country then.
Yeah. Yeah. So we ran cross country. I can't remember. I think I did it junior and senior year.
Yeah. I think I did the same sophomore, or maybe sophomore year too. I don't know. Can't remember. Yeah.
Were you guys competitive?
We were on the varsity team. Yeah.
Who was faster?
Derek was way faster than I was.
Really?
I want to say I started out slower, but then by the senior year, I was doing pretty well. So.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, like you started off.
I never.
That's right. You improved vastly, actually.
Really?
Yeah, Derek improved. Like I remember Derek got faster and faster, and I was just sort of like steady. I never got faster.
What'd you do, Derek?
I try to change my technique and learn from my mistakes, I guess.
Impressive.
Hey, I think part of the running is not really the running so much as keeping your shoulders relaxed and just like, you know, not stressing out.
Hmm.
Being.
Did Did you win any? Like, were you?
No, I think I got second at districts. I think Josh got first, but I got second.
Yeah, that's Josh is fast. Josh is freaking fast. Josh
that's is really the fast. I think at the regional event, I didn't do very well. I can't remember exactly. I know we didn't get to states, unfortunately, but
I was dead last in that regional. I had no business being there. I think I was only on the varsity team for that regional because somebody was injured.
Yeah, I think Kenny was injured, right?
That's right. Man, you have a good memory.
I can't remember if he was injured before the meet or during the meet. I can't remember exactly, but.
Yeah, because I was not fast. Like, even senior year, I was on the JV team most of the time. Or, like, floating back and forth. And then, yeah, like, regional, like, someone was injured. And I was like, oh, great, I got to run the regional meet? This is ridiculous. And I think I was dead last in the entire
field. Well, it was stiff competition. I think Ignatius and Xavier were there and a bunch of other really good teams. We had a tough regional.
I remember it was pretty tough.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
So what else?
Sorry. Just cross country. So that's tangent number one. Okay. So that's the, I think that's the only time you're pictured. And no juicy quotes from Derek. And this
pretty straight in high school for sure.
Straight and narrow. So okay, here are the things though. Cross country 11th and 12th, it says in here. And then track 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Okay, that's right.
So you did track sophomore year.
Yes.
Yeah. And we were together. I don't even remember what I did anymore. I guess I could look it up, but I think I was in track earlier than also and then joined and then did cross country later. But anyway, so you did track sophomore, junior, senior, and German club.
There you go.
10th, 11th, and 12th.
Yeah, little good it did me when I got over there. I got over there and people are like speaking like in German, and I'm like, oh my God, what are you saying? I don't understand a single word.
After four like years of German.
Months. Yeah, after 4 years of German. It took me like a solid like 6 months to start like hearing everything and understanding everything. It was crazy.
Really?
But, yeah. Well, so it was gradual, but, you know, I mean.
So you spent a year after high school in Germany?
Yes. Yeah, I was an exchange student. So, like, I graduated and then I did an exchange basically to learn German. And I also brought my guitar and composed music and drank beer. It was 38 to 16 in Germany. So it was totally legit. So
that's awesome. Yeah, I kind of wish I would have done something like that too. That's really cool. So do you speak German much now?
Not much now. I still can recall a lot of it. It's like, you know, music. I did a lot of music and then I put down music, but I still can do a little bit, you know, not to the extent I used to be able to, but
yeah.
Cool. So yeah, same thing with German.
Nice.
Awesome.
So, okay. Yeah.
Keep going.
Oh, there's more.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. In National Honor Society.
Wow.
Junior and senior year.
Another National Honor.
Yes. I'm definitely a nerd.
Yeah. And if that wasn't enough, Rotary Scholar.
Oh.
11th and 12th. All four years.
Nice.
Rotary Scholar. Yeah.
Whoa.
My dad was in the Rotary Club, though, so I don't know how.
That's it. That's how you got it. No, what is a Rotary Scholar? Is that better than National Honor?
No, it's not. I think it's just a, you know, you get inducted as a, I don't even know. I can't remember. It just means that you're honored by the Rotary Club, I guess.
So it doesn't matter. It's not like performance. Like the Honor Society is like you need a certain GPA. Yeah. A Rotary Club Scholar is just.
I don't know. I don't remember. That didn't stick in my memory for some reason though.
Man, I have to tell a couple stories.
Oh man. There you go.
No, there I mean, well, a couple well I, you know, we try to like paint a picture of you from school and stuff, and like I mean the two stories that came to my mind were one time I was over at your house, I think this was in high school or something, and we were just hanging out. And then it's like nighttime or something. It's like night. And then all of a sudden there's like the door opens and your dad comes in with a guitar or something and like all this luggage. And he had just returned from Siberia or something.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that was actually pretty common because my dad had if you don't know, he had a PhD in Russian literature. Wow. And he had a job at College of Worcester, actually, as a professor, and he didn't get tenure. So he wound up struggling for a few years. My mom like got jobs instead, and she was the breadwinner. And he struggled until the fall of the Soviet Union actually opened up a lot of trade with Russia. So he knew Russian. He knew all the Eastern European languages. He knew German. He was pretty good with languages. He was better than me with languages for sure. And he did business with Russia. He would go over there and negotiate deals on behalf of his company and stuff like that. So,
wow, that's good. I thought that's funny. And also, like, he had a guitar, and he was like, it was like a nice guitar, and he's like, I'll sell it to you for $25. And like, he sold me that guitar for $25 or something. I was nice. Like, awesome.
Isn't it good?
It was a good guitar. Yeah.
Is it the 12 string guitars? I think was it? Yeah. No.
I don't remember.
No problem.
But that's, I mean, another story I just remember from like, this was like, this must have been, I don't know. Did you go to Bullock?
I did not go to Bullock. I went to Roberts. Yeah, Roberts. Yeah.
We must have known each other though from like Boy Scout, Cub Scouts and stuff. Like, because I remember one time.
Yeah, my dad was a scoutmaster.
Yeah, your dad. One time we were on a camping trip and there was this, they did this thing where you had to hike to all these different places and you got different beads, like colored beads, and you made this like string of beads. And like, we were so happy to get this string of beads. And like, then I lost mine. And your dad made you give you yours to me, like give me yours. And like, and I remember you were crying about it. And so it was like on the trip back, you were crying.
I must have wiped that from my memory because I don't remember that at all.
I remember you crying. I felt guilty that I had yours, but at the same time, I was happy I had these beads. we must have been like in elementary school.
Okay, yeah, I was thinking I was crying. It wasn't like middle school or anything like that.
Yeah.
High school,
yeah. The bead.
But yeah, man, there's lots of different stories. How do you see yourself in high school? What was high school like for you?
Me? I just see myself, I was kind of, heads down in my studies, and I did cross country, but really I just hung out with friends and did my schoolwork. Really, I didn't really socialize a whole lot. Or I think I even skipped prom and went to some other high school's prom. I don't know. That's just,
really?
I was a little nerdy, I guess you could say. But I don't know.
So how was high school for you? Do you feel like you enjoyed it, or it was just
it wasn't bad. I enjoyed it. I thought it was maybe a little easy compared to college, because when I got to like the later years of college, it got pretty tough. But it felt kind of like easy. So, but it was hard at first, and then I think when I started cross country, I started learning how to like manage my time better, and everything got a lot easier in that regard.
It tough in terms of just like classwork or
no? Well, it was kind of like I was procrastinating a lot, and then when I did cross country, I had to work on it, or else I wouldn't do well at it. So I had to like focus and knuckle down a little bit more. But it wasn't that bad. And I kind of like sloughed it a bit. Like the AP calculus class, I remember I was in it with you guys, I think, or Mike at least.
With Mike, I don't think I was in that. Yeah.
I remember it was like I goofed off so much in that class that I flunked the AP test when I took it.
I had to retake it. It's probably my fault, man.
I remember the stories that we would write, like you start a story and then someone else does a story, and like it evolved into like such a weird thing that the principal called us in and said, "Hey, what are you guys doing?"
Really?
Remember that?
I don't remember that. He called.
Yeah, remember that? Oh my gosh!
To the principal's office?
Yeah, we did, because it got to the point where it got really disturbing. Some of these stories that we were telling.
I don't even remember this. They called me and you in?
Maybe not you. I got called in. I don't know. Someone else did too. Anyways, So like, yeah, they're like, is everything okay? Or, you know, we saw you wrote this this story, and, you know, and we want to make sure that you're
Were these like the disturbing later, stories, like you pass them back and forth and
yeah,
try to shock and shock people with the gore and that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Anyhow,
like if you did that today,
I know
you'd probably be expelled immediately.
Like, team would come into the school or something and take you away.
Yeah, I know. That's true. Jeez, you can't do that stuff. Man.
We had stories about like people in the class, right? Like in,
yeah, we had always tied together like t-shirt stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh man, none of us would have finished high school.
So Derek, could you give us a brief timeline of events since high school?
Sure thing. So like from, like I already told you, I lived in Germany from the year after or the school year after high school. As an exchange student, I went to Worcester freshman year of college. First, I was a classical guitar major for a semester, and then decided I want to eat and became a chemistry major. But then I had some trouble after my freshman year, and I moved back home and I went to KSU instead and started working on computer science instead of chemistry. I started dating my girlfriend, Heather, in the fall of 96. And yeah, we were married in 2000. So from 96 to 2000, I also joined an alternative rock band. We played original songs, pretty fun. And then 2000, I graduated college. I took the 5-year college plan because the classes weren't scheduled right. So I had to take some required classes, but I graduated in 2000. And then I got a bachelor's degree in computer science. Got married in 2000 as well and moved into an apartment in Stowe. In 2002, I moved to Akron and I worked in downtown Akron in a startup company that didn't really go anywhere. So 2008, I moved to North Royalton and got a position with Medical Mutual of Ohio, which is the biggest insurance company in Ohio. 2009, my first child was born, Catherine. We sold the house in Akron for a loss because it was around the downturn in the housing market. But we moved into a larger house in Seven Hills, so that worked out pretty well for us. 2014, I started working for the NASA Safety Center. I didn't actually even know I was interviewing at NASA. I was just looking for a job near where my daughter was going to parochial kindergarten because it would have been like a hellish commute to go downtown. So I got accepted and I've been working there since at the NASA Safety Center, which is really nice because I feel like you're contributing to society a little bit more so than other jobs. And in around 2014, 2017, we took foster parent training, me and my wife. We got approved. We fostered a kid for 6 weeks, but she wound up going back to her grandma, which was fine by us, but our daughter kind of talked about her a lot, so we decided not to do that anymore. So we started looking into adoption, actually, and that fell through. And instead, we did something called embryonic adoption, which is you're the birth parents, but not the biological parents. And in 2019, our second daughter, Aria, was born. So, and then that brings us to today, which is pretty much most of the same. I'm still working for NASA, thankfully. And we're all hanging out in Seven Hills, Ohio here.
Cool. Awesome. So, wow, another, I'm computer science grad.
Yeah,
grad too.
Yeah, I know.
Cool. So I just saw NASA blew up that asteroid.
Yeah. In fact, I do fencing as a hobby, and I coach now, actually, because I haven't done it so long. And one of my students actually works there as well. He's a physicist there, though. And he talks all about that kind of stuff. He knows a lot about that. And in fact, he has his own Wikipedia page, actually. He's pretty famous.
Wow. So,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's amazing what they're doing now, the scientific discoveries out in the solar system and whatnot. What I do mainly is just I work at the safety center. So it's nothing too glamorous, but it's a necessary thing, you know, to working on websites. I can't, it's not really classified. I'll just say that I work on like technical websites for employees to do stuff with, you know.
Cool. This is what I love about Derek. Like, first, I have to say, Derek inspired me to play guitar pretty much. I mean, like, he, in high school, he was like, you know, people played guitar, which, you know, it's just like messing around on the guitar. But Derek, like, actually played classical guitar. And it was like really impressive. It was like, you know, this finger picking and like.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. And like, that was a big inspiration for me. Like, you know, I remember you playing a couple pieces and I still know how to play. Like, I play them on my guitar now. Awesome. I still play them. So yeah, it's like, and what I really appreciate about Derek is like he just mentioned fencing, like, you know, you get really into these things and maybe it's not such usual hobbies as other people, but you like really get into it and probably get really good. Like, tell us about this fencing stuff.
Oh yeah. I started when I was 16. Actually, I started in high school I took a break when I went to Germany. I probably should have fenced there because it's big over there. But anyhow, I came back and I met Heather in the fencing club in Kent State, actually. And we sticked with it and ran the Kent Fencing Club for many years and then moved on from that. And now I coach it on Target. I was the highest rating you can get in fencing is A rating, and I've achieved it a few times. It kind of expires after 5 years, so I go back down to B. But then I've renewed it a few times, and yeah, I've been doing it for 30 years or so, and wow. Just like breathing to me now, actually. And I actually went to they have a old person competition, like 40 to 50 and 50 to 60. I went to, Oregon, Portland. And I got in the top 8 of the Vet Open, which is 40 and above. And then a couple of years later, I went to Cincinnati and I got in the top 8 there as well. So I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cool, you know? And they have Vet Worlds actually 50 at age 50. So I'm crossing my fingers. I'm like, if I don't get injured or I last that long, you know, maybe I can have a shot at that. But my friend I know tells me it's very competitive because people come out of the woodwork for that, but we'll see. I guess. But
that's so awesome, man. I don't know anything about fencing.
Well, it's like physical chess, Mike. I think you'd like it because you like chess. It's like physical chess. Basically, there's a lot of strategy to it, not just coordination. So,
what's the like? When you're in a tournament, you have to like. I mean, this is gonna sound really stupid.
Go ahead.
Like, if you poke them, do you get a point?
Or yeah, yeah, totally. I do FA, which is like first person to get the touch gets the touch, and if you hit at the same time, both lights go off and you both get a touch. Yeah, basically, you're just moving back and forth, extending your arm, moving your feet. You know, trying to find what their weaknesses are or their strengths. And try to decide what to do next and to get the touch. So
you get a touch and a light goes on. Like it's like automatic. It's automatic. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's totally automatic. Now these modern technology, you're hooked into a reel, which is a body cord goes up your arm to your weapon. And so like when you press the plunger, it completes a circuit and the light goes off. And then if you hit ground, like the bell is grounded, it doesn't light the light. So if you hit the bell, it doesn't go off. And then there's such a thing as a grounded strip, which is like a copper or some sort of metal that's conductive and it's grounded. And if you hit the ground, it doesn't go off. So if you hit the toe, it'll register. That's the hardest thing in Epe is the ground touch for refereeing. If you don't have a grounded strip. So
does that count if you poke someone in the toe?
Yeah. Yeah. That's in Epe, you can hit it anywhere. You can hit the foot, you can hit the shin, you can hit the head. You can hit the arm anywhere for other weapons in fencing are not the same, but Epee is like target everywhere. It's not slashing weapon for Epee. It's just like the tip only, but you wind up doing parries, which are kind of like, you know, what you would do in other swords.
Do you, what if like you were, I don't know, a burglar broke in your house and you had a sword.
If I had a sword?
Yeah, do you think he would easily just like take him out?
Yeah, I probably could. Although I do tell you this also, I do Taekwondo with my daughter, and I'm already a second degree black belt in Taekwondo too. So wow. I could probably just you know kick them or something and do the same thing as a, because from what I understand, like, you know, if you do a, this is gonna sound really gross, but if you take your shin and you kick their knee, basically and run, they're disabled and they won't be able to follow you. You know, I would say better than that though is mace. If you want self defense, is mace. Yeah, mace. Yeah. Even if you're like a super fancy martial artist, you get hit with mace, you're not going to be any good because you're going to die. Like,
that's kind of hide. Disappointing to hear.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I want to live in a world where the black belt in Taekwondo can beat out the guy with mace. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know if I do want to live in that world, but. It is a little disappointing to have that expertise and then be able to be taken out by mace.
Yeah, I know. I've heard of this happening. So this is not actually someone I know who does Taekwondo. It did get that happened. It happened.
I heard one.
Yeah. I go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say one comedian was like, fencing is the most useless self-defense because if somebody broke in, not only do you need your sword, but they would have to have a sword too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why I don't like to practice nunchucks in Taekwondo. It's like, oh, I have a nunchuck on me. I'm going to beat you up in a nunchuck. I'm going to have my nunchucks with me.
Wow. So yes. Yeah. See, this is what's cool about Derek. You start, like, you bring up the fencing and then he's like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm a double black belt in Taekwondo.
Yeah, right. Okay. Just roll that off my tongue there.
Yeah.
That's awesome though. Yeah. You.
It's fun. Yeah.
You get into things and like really really take it to the next level. That's awesome.
Yeah, I like the hobbies for sure. It's fun.
Yeah.
My daughter's like it too. My oldest is she has some challenges, but she does really well with the Taekwondo and she's learned a lot. I think she's improved quite a bit.
So you just started doing that with her because she started doing it? Was that?
Well, yeah, I did the usual thing where, you know, the kid gets a certain age and you're like, well, you can do a musical instrument, you can do dance, you can do martial arts, you can do, you know, I don't know what else there is. I think there was something else. Fencing, I opened the door for fencing. She didn't want to do fencing. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right. She's like, I'm going to do martial arts. I'm like, okay, that's cool. So we found this dojo near our house, and it turns out it's like the biggest one in Ohio, and it's like a conglomerate of like four or five or six different locations, and it's pretty fun. Got into it and kept doing it. I only do it once a week, but still, that's enough to keep going, I think. But so now my youngest, God,
you go to the dojo with her? Is like a father-daughter thing?
Oh, yeah.
Or you do a separate?
Yeah. Oh, well, we used to go together, but now my 3-year-old is doing what's called Tiger Tots. Now we separate and she goes to a separate class, and actually it was a good thing to do that because she's learning how to do stuff on her own, not just with me.
Yeah.
So it helps a bit just to take out the dependency. You know what I mean?
That's awesome. Yeah. Hopefully you're not beating up on too many 10-year-olds.
No, I didn't have any Kramer moments.
That's good to hear.
So Derek, what have been some defining moments in your life since high school, or what are some struggles that you've overcome?
Oh man, don't get me started. All right, well, I hate to be negative, but this is there's kind of like quite a bit here actually. so like Mike, when I was going to Worcester, the summer after I was done with Worcester, I had some trouble. And it was some very serious trouble. In fact, I had like a break with reality and I wound up in the psychiatric hospital and they told me I had schizophrenia. Okay. Yeah. So that was my main reason why I cut my Worcester experience and decided to go to KSU is because I was recovering from that, you know, and thankfully I got some medicine and I got back on the mend in like 6 months. So that was one thing. And then like, it kind of like follows you forever, unfortunately, because I'd say like 4 years ago, I started getting like large muscle twitch. And it was determined after seeing a couple doctors that it was side effects of my medicine, actually. And my doctor said, he's like, well, you got to go off this medicine and back on this one. And I'm like, myself, okay. I wish I wouldn't have said okay, because it was not good, because it was like, you know, I went off the medicine. I went back on the new one and the dosage wasn't quite right. I wound up in the hospital, like, I say like 3 times out of like 4 months, for a total of about a month in the hospital. It was pretty rough. And that was like 3 or 4 years ago, actually. And thankfully we got, I got new medicine and I got in, everything's like sorted out now. It was a bit of a strain on my family for a while. And that was before my second daughter was born, actually.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. So yeah, so like if I call you and I speak in German, you know, I probably won't do that anymore because I take medicine. Like I said, I had issues back then for sure. So
man, yeah, that's
yeah.
God.
And then something else that happened to me early on is like 1999, which is like 5 years after we graduated high school. Mike, you were talking about my dad, right? Mm-hmm. Well, he was kind of like overweight and he smoked, and you kind of see how this is where this is going, right? He had a heart attack and that was it. He passed on in 1999. So unfortunately, so that's been kind of a kind of like defining my life a bit too, you know, to have to like wake up a bit from that, you know. So luckily though, after I had my medical problems, we rebuilt our relationship a bit, and then we had a couple good years, so that was good at least. So
yeah.
And then, okay, my third one. Yeah, this is sounding pretty, this is taking everything down, I'm sure. But my oldest daughter was like 2 years old and she wasn't walking on time and wasn't developing correctly. And we're like, oh my God, what's happening? So we went through like a year of intense testing at the Cleveland Clinic, which was pretty scary. And they were trying to figure out what was wrong with her. And she did multiple tests and it took like a year. And then they found out in the end she has a P10 gene mutation, which is a rare illness. Not all doctors know about it. It's one in every 200,000 people. And it can cause some autism spectrum disorder as well as early onset of cancer starting at, you know, later ages. So it's a genetic disorder. So they screened me and my wife because it's a 50% chance that one of us had it versus one in 200,000 that she got it spontaneously. So it turns out my wife has that as well. And so that complicated things a lot, because we were thinking of having two kids, and then, you know, that kind of scuttled the whole you know, biological child debate. So and then yeah, so my daughter has like she's very high functioning autistic, so she's very very verbal. She can talk to you. She interacts really well, because we knew very early she had it due to this genetic testing. So we were able to do early intervention. My wife basically sacrificed, I say, like 5 years of her, you know, working life to rehabilitate my daughter. And thankfully it worked pretty well. And she's, you wouldn't be able to tell basically unless you knew her a little bit better, you know, that she had it. So that's good. At least she's doing well. And then my youngest, actually, since we couldn't have any more biological children, we had what's called, like I said earlier, embryonic adoption, where we went and that our Arya is our birth child, but not our biological child. Actually, her parents are native to Nepal, India, Nepal. So. And that's it for the negative stuff. I mean, not a moment, but you know, I'm kind of living the American dream besides all that crap. Well, you got a house and time to pursue hobbies and stuff and like that.
Well, I mean, to me, it's I can understand how those things are really difficult, but I don't seem as negative, because you persevered and got through them, you know. Like I see that as like a positive, and that's you know why I like to bring it up sometimes with people we interview, because you know, you made it through. Like that's kind of what it's about. And you know, I remember you you going through that episode with the psychotic stuff, and yeah, I remember talking to you about that, and it was just really scary and crazy.
Oh yeah, Not to mention the hospital, man. That's a if you're interested in his stories, I could tell you some stories, but
yeah.
I'm curious about the stories.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
People How long were you in the hospital?
Like for about a month total, 4 years ago. Yeah, that was the most recent. When I went to the Cuyahoga Falls Hospital, I was pretty tame. I thought, you know, there wasn't much going on, but this one I went to in Willoughby was, it's kind of like you get thrown in with everyone from every walk of life, you know, anywhere from a really poor neighborhood to a, you know, rich neighborhood. And then you also have like the dynamic of some of the people have different, you know, things going on. And oh my gosh, it's like the Wild West thing. You know, it's you're always like 1 minute away from someone like going unhinged and having the staff come in and like drug them, pin them down and shoot them with something. Yeah. So you're kind of always kind of like on your toes, you know. It's interesting too. They check on you every 15 minutes, so you don't have much privacy. They wake you up in the middle of the night to take your blood pressure every day, so you don't get enough sleep. And yeah, it's interesting. It's fun though too. Sometimes, you know, you play cards with people and talk to people you usually wouldn't know or talk to. So that part was interesting.
Yeah, I was gonna ask if you formed any relationships while you were there.
No, not really. But I mean, while I was there, I hung out with people, talked to them, and interacted with them. But when I could, but
you know, it's amazing that the medicine can help so well. You know, like I remember. Yeah. Yeah, like when you went through that, I remember you talking about it, and then, you know, the medicine, it seemed like the medicine really helped.
Yeah, it does. I think I mean I hold a job. I'm able to do stuff and do normal things, really, basically, you know, as long as I have the medicine to stabilize me in.
And your father, I remember when you went through that too. And I knew your dad. He seemed like an awesome guy too.
It was too bad, but it was like 1999. So that was like a long time ago. Not that it's gotten any easier, but it's at least I've come to peace with it, you know, after a certain amount of time, you know, you kind of reconcile yourself to the fact that, you know, he's gone.
From what I remember, it was really sudden, wasn't it? Like you guys had no. Yeah.
Well, it was interesting. I ate dinner with him, and usually that's what happens after you eat dinner. You take a shower, the blood goes away from your heart, and then you have a cardiac problem. So yeah, it was nice that I got to eat the last meal with him, but it was kind of sad too. But you know, it's just kind of like, you know, no one comes out of life unscathed. You know, we're all, you know, have touched some way in some regard. You know?
Well, it's really good, you know, to see you, and, you know, you look good, and I'm glad you're doing so well in our, like, grandmaster in fencing and double black belt, and have a great
kicking
job.
Ass
and,
all over.
Yeah, kicking ass, man.
Impressive, man.
You're totally,
I'll tell you what,
though,
going to the hospital kind of decided me to do the taekwondo, because I was like, you know, I never felt so vulnerable in my life to getting
really.
You're like, can you please bring my sword when you
come? Yeah, <right.
laughs> Oh man,
no, sorry, wow, sir. So you swords did... are not allowed in here.
So you did the taekwondo recently?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I've only been doing it for like, maybe I'm wrong on the 4 years, maybe it was like 6 years, but I've done taekwondo for 5 years now.
Wow.
Sure.
So in your 40s, you went from nothing to a double black belt.
Yeah, it's not that hard. And actually, I feel great now physically. I've never been any better than this, you know. I don't think, you know.
So, how many hours did you have to put in a week to do that?
I just went to 2 practices a week. And now actually what I do is I go to 1 practice a week, and I hit the heavy bag in the basement for the odd days. So I only fence once a week. I do taekwondo once a week. And then I exercise 6 days. So that's 4 more days of just, you know, I'd hit the tennis ball with the epee and kick the heavy bag with my feet. And my daughter does it too. I have her, we kind of alternate and, you know, take turns kicking the heavy bag. It's all good. It's kind of cool. It's like a bonding experience for us.
Yeah, it's awesome. Awesome, man. Well, you guys ready for Make the Sound with your mouth only?
Of course.
No time like the present.
Okay.
Why do we do this?
I don't know why we do this. Why do we continue to torture ourselves and our guests?
We groan
and our listeners. And our
listeners. All the way through it. Derek, we don't like this any more than you do. I'll say that.
It's, how do you know I don't like it?
Just assume it.
So
we
Derek,
got the mayor of Cuyahoga Falls to do it.
Yeah, we got them.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's okay. Out there somewhere. MikeandSteve.com, Don Walters.
I'll try to do it. My ear is better than my voice, but I'll give it a shot.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, it's hard to find sounds too, and like the microphone messes it up and everything. But anyway, we'll try this. Okay, so I'll make a sound. Steve will do it first. Steve will make the sound with his mouth only. And then after Steve does it, Derek, I'll do the sound again, and then you can do it, and then I'll do it. And whoever does the best sound wins. Okay, here we go. Steve, remember, you're up against a double black belt, fencing grandmaster, like eighth in the U.S. here. So do a good job. Put some effort in this time.
I gotta see what I can do here.
Okay, ready? Here's the sound. Please, I hope you can hear this.
I know.
Here we go. Did you hear that?
I think so. It was kind of faint.
Okay, you want me to do it again?
Are you able to do it again?
I think so. Ready? Here we go.
Okay, that one was better.
Not bad.
Not terribly pleased with the performance, but I'll go with it.
It was not bad.
That's a tough one.
Is it?
I think. They're all tough.
Derek, are you ready?
Sure.
You still there?
Still here, yeah.
You didn't drop off.
She's out of here.
He's out of here. He's like, fuck this. Okay. I'm not doing this bullshit. I'm a double black belt, man. Screw this. No, okay. Derek, ready? Here we go. Here's the sound. I just spilled it all over.
That one was great. The sound was better, though.
Okay. I just spilled water all over my laptop. Hopefully, it'll keep on recording. Okay, Derek, you ready?
Ready.
You got it? Wait, you want me to do it again?
Sure.
Okay. Just a second. Here we go. Okay. Good.
That's an extremely difficult one.
It is?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, here.
It's like difficulty level 10.
Really? Okay,
I think so. Yeah.
I'll try this again.
Okay. I kind of want to keep practicing this one. This, like, if someone could make that sound with their mouth, I'd be really impressed.
I think you got to drink some water at the same time you do it.
Yeah, that's true. Gargle. You could just gargle.
Oh, good call. Wait,
that's what the mayor would have done if we. He's always finding some loophole.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, perfect. Good.
Yeah. I don't know if that counts as my mouth only, though. It's my mouth and water.
That reminds me of our next gimmick. Remember, make the sound with your butt only. Okay.
Okay. That's even more challenging. That's when you've mastered make the sound with your mouth only.
When you're a double black belt and make the sound with your mouth only. Anyway, Derek.
Yeah.
It was great to have you on the show.
Thanks.
And great catching up, man. I want to stay in touch. I hope this rekindles our friendship.
Yeah, sure.
And because, you know, you're an inspiration, man. You inspired me with the guitar. And now maybe I'll get into
it. Yeah, I know you did like the Bob Dylan in New York, right? I remember that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
tried that. But
John Doe newsletter.
Yeah. So anyway, is there anything else, Derek, that you wanted to say to listeners or our class?
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being on the show. Why don't you stick on just for a minute? Steve will press stop recording. And thanks everybody for listening.
Sounds good.
All right. See you, everybody. Mike and Steve is a production of Mike and Steve LLC and was produced by Mike Carson and Steve Henry with generous assistance from Tracy Marzich. You can find Mike and Steve at mikeandsteve.com and also on iTunes and Stitcher. Don't forget to like and subscribe so you never miss an episode. You can also leave comments, questions, or messages to include in future episodes at our voicemail box at 330-731-1335. Once again, that number is 330-731-1335. Thanks for listening and have a great week.